scripture reading this morning, 3 John, chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. 3 book of John, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Well, good morning, everyone. We're always thankful for these times we have together. If you're visiting with us, we're very glad that you have come our way. You know, you start to consider some of the things that are going on in our world, and it's not that, I don't think that, you know, we should be cautious. But there is a point where you have done all that you have done and all that you can do, and you do have to rely on God. I'm not telling you not to wash your hands. I think that's reasonable. I'm not telling you not to keep good hygiene. I think that's reasonable. You know, I'm not telling you that if you're sick, you should stay home. I think that that's reasonable. But you know what? In times like these, you start to think about people's mindset in relation to their spiritual health. You know, physical health, definitely, we should be concerned about. We should do all that we can, I think. But there is a point where we do have to consider our spiritual health. And as I look around our society, some of the thoughts that I think is sometimes I think that we are far more concerned about the physical than the spiritual. And we do have to be ever so mindful of the spiritual, because our society will try to rip us away from those things that are spiritual, those things that are true. I'm not saying not to be cautious, not do those things that we know we should do, those things that are healthy. But I think sometimes we have to consider our spiritual health. If you're spiritual healthy, sometimes that physical health, not that we're not concerned about it, but we realize it's not the most important thing on this earth. Our spiritual health will go on into eternity. Our physical health will only last as long as it is granted to us. But thinking about that, I think there is a danger in our society, but with a danger, I think there's also a great opportunity. There's a great opportunity for us as people are concerned about their physical health, that the best solution would be to be spiritual healthy. If we are spiritually healthy, the physical concerns of our life can somewhat be relieved. Are you spiritually healthy here today? How do you stay spiritual healthy? And that's what we want to look at, what we want to consider, because I think that is far more important when we look at some of the challenges that we face. If we can stay spiritually healthy, we are in a state of constant preparedness in relation to our lives and meeting our Creator. It is far more important to remain spiritually healthy than physically healthy. And that's something that we must not forget. And that's where I think one of the great opportunities lies, is people consider their physical health and they start to realize that I'm doing everything I can. I'm washing my hands. I'm trying to keep good hygiene. I'm trying to do the things that they're recommending. You start to realize that even if you do all of those things, that there's still some things out of your control. You can do all the things that the worldly doctors ask you to do, but you could still be in danger in this physical plane of life. But if you take the spiritual advice of the great physician, you are in a state of constant preparedness, a constant state of being ready for whatever can happen in your life. So what we're going to look at this morning is, how can we stay spiritually healthy? And certainly that's a consideration that we should all think about. Point number one is, if we are going to stay spiritually healthy, we need spiritual food. We need spiritual food if we're going to stay spiritually healthy. You know, I think of my two young ones here with me, Uriah and Avia. You know, they need that food. They need that physical food to grow. And it's amazing as I watch them, as they partake of that physical food, how they grow and how quickly they grow. Spiritual food is needed. And we know what happens if that physical food is not there. We have those problems with growth. We have those problems with not being nourished in a correct way. As growth is stalled when the food is not there. And I think the comparison can be directly made to spiritual things. Is when spiritual food is not consumed, spiritual growth is not there. It is lacking. It is slow. It is not happening in a rate which is supposed to happen. Food is necessary for spiritual growth. The Bible does not get away from that idea. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "But he answered and said to them, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone." You know, some people do, don't they? They think just by the physical food that they consume each and every day that they are healthy, that they are good, that they're ready to go. But that's what the Bible continues on. Not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Spiritual growth is impossible without spiritual food, without spiritual consumption. Are you getting your regular spiritual food? It's almost sometimes like people avoid spiritual food. It's kind of like we probably all had a video of someone, or we all had that experience where you try to feed your child some vegetables, and they just, you know, they push away. They don't want it. And I feel like that's sometimes how our world responds. And as these things are happening in our society, maybe people will be more receptive to the spiritual food that can save their souls, that can help them grow spiritually because of the times and the things that are happening. It is essential for us to get spiritual food, to consume it, to digest it, to think about it, to meditate on it. And when we do, it changes our lives. We grow spiritually. Do you regularly consume spiritual food? In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, we see the Bereans. It says that they were searching the scriptures daily in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 to see whether the things that they were being told were so in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. It says these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness. They weren't flinching. They weren't looking at it like, oh, I don't want it. I want that spiritual food. It says they received it with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Are your spiritual meals regular? Do they happen regularly? You know, we think about our physical meals. If we miss one physical meal, you know, we're like, oh, we missed it. And we remember it all day, don't we? We're like, well, I missed lunch today. And we remember it all day. But do you remember when you missed your spiritual meal? Do you remember when the spiritual food is lacking in our lives? When those meals are skipped? When those studies are skipped in our lives? We need a regular diet of spiritual food. Because spiritual food is required for spiritual growth. And it's a lot like physical food, is that you do have to desire it. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. It says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that Lord, that the Lord is gracious. It says, newborn babes desiring the pure milk of the word. Do you desire spiritual food the same way that you desire physical food? And the connection is easy to make, is that if we don't eat the physical food, we don't grow in a physical way. If we don't consume the spiritual food, we don't grow in a spiritual way. How is your spiritual diet? How is your spiritual consumption of God's Word? In 1 Peter chapter 2, continuing that verse, it has desire there. Do you desire the spiritual food? There's a great opportunity here because as people are threatened by their physical lives, they think their physical lives are in danger. You can turn their attention to the spiritual food because if they consume that spiritual food, they will be healthy spiritually and they can get to a point by obeying the gospel that they can be in a state that they are safe no matter what happens. Are you in good health today? Are you consuming the spiritual food on a regular basis? In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are we growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are we consuming those things on a regular basis? Or are those the things that are neglected? Are those the things put aside? Are those the meals that are so easily skipped? Those meals that are so easily laid aside in comparison to the physical things that are around us? You know, the Bible does give us many, many ways to consider His Word, and a lot of these comparisons are there for a reason. We understand physical food. We understand how we desire it. We understand how we consume it on a regular basis, and that a parallel goes right along with spiritual food. It's something that should be regular. It's something that's needed. It's something that's essential. And when you grow, what happens? You mature. And that's an expectation as a Christian. It's as you consume the spiritual food, what's the expectation? That you will grow, that you will mature. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 through 8, we kind of have some of that idea laid out for us. Says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it's talking about this idea of the people being carnal. It's talking about the process of spiritual food. It's talking about such a comparison of milk and solid food. It says, we've been feeding you milk, but now you should be to the time where you're consuming solid food, but you're not. And why are they not ready for the solid food? It's interesting. It says they're carnal. What's carnal? They're worldly thinking. They have a worldly mindset. They're thinking in a worldly way. And I think we're very dangerous when we go that direction. And our minds are more physical than they are spiritual. It puts us in a dangerous position where we are not maturing in an appropriate way. The Bible brings it out that a Christian should mature. That as you consume more and more spiritual food, there's a process that takes place. You become less what? Carnal. You become less worldly minded. You go through a transition. As we consume the spiritual food, it takes us in a process of a worldly mind to a more spiritual mind. I tell you what, that spiritual mindset will benefit you throughout your life. It'll help keep stresses and anxieties out of your life many times. A lot of times, if you have a spiritual mindset, it helps you throughout life because it helps you to consider the things that are truly important. And many times, we lose sight of things throughout life and we focus far more on the physical than we do the spiritual. There is a potential for a Christian as we consume that spiritual food for us to grow. And as we grow throughout our Christian life, we go throughout this process that I believe we become less physically mindsetted and more of a spiritual mindset. Is as we grow, it doesn't happen immediately. Are you saying that an older Christian that has consumed more spiritual food than a young Christian are going to be at the same maturity level? I tell you, when I look at our older brothers and sisters in Christ, they are a great example because most of them are far more spiritually minded than younger Christians. They've been consuming that spiritual food for longer. If you talk to some of the older brothers and sisters in Christ, and you talk to them of the way they perceive some of these things going out in the world, don't they perceive it from a more spiritual mindset many times? Now, I understand we fall into different situations in our lives. Obviously, if something happens to me, I have to think about my family and things of that nature. But still, I should be in a constant state of preparedness. And I think when you talk to older Christians, they are in that constant state of preparedness. They are ready to go. They are ready to go. They are prepared. They're saying, I am spiritually healthy. Can we say the same thing here today? Of course, we don't want to leave life in an untimely manner, leaving part of our responsibilities that we know need to be taken care of. We want to live a life where we can help those that are around us. But in that other sense, as we consume spiritual food, it should lead us to a spiritual mindset. God has given you full access to spiritual food. Do you take advantage of it? In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. There is some bad spiritual food that's out there, but God has given you an abundance of good spiritual food which you can consume 24/7. 24/7, we have access to spiritual food. Blessed is that person who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You can consume this again and again and again. It's there for you at all times. There's bad spiritual food out there, and the Bible cautions us about that. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they're of God. You know, you have to investigate the spiritual food that's presented before you. Sometimes it's bad. You know, we investigate the food that's laid before us. Sometimes there's a time in your life where food's been laid before you, and you're like, I don't know if I want to eat that. You investigate it. You make sure that it is good for your consumption. The same thing happens with spiritual food. If we do have to investigate it, make sure it's good. But I think in our society, we're consuming a lot of junk food. We're consuming a lot of worldly food. Well, where can you find that? Well, you can find it almost 24/7 as well. You can find it on Facebook. You can find it in the media. You can find it on television. You can even find it on your phone if you're not too careful. A lot of places. There is a lot of food out there. What are you consuming? I think a lot of times we fall into the trap of consuming so much junk food that we feel bad. Have you ever consumed so much junk food that you feel bad? I have. I ate one too many bites of cake, and I felt sick. But sometimes we eat so much worldly food, we eat so much worldly garbage, we get sick. And I think we're living in a time right now where it's very easily possible. You can get lost in the media. You can get lost in the Facebook. And you consume so much of the world, you get sick. I'm not talking about, like, mentally sick. You're like, man, I feel bad. Look at all this stuff. You know what? You can easily turn to this and consume some spiritual food for a while. We have to be careful, brothers and sisters in Christ, what we fill our mind with. It's hard to keep a spiritual mind in a physical world. The world around us, it's got all the negativity, it's got all the challenges, it's got so much that. I mean, we're just bombarded again and again and again with worldly food. With food that is anti-Bible, that's anti-Jesus. And we have to be careful because if you consume enough of it, you will get sick. We have to turn to the source of good spiritual food. And that lies with God. You think of physical food, it helps us grow. It helps us stay healthy. When we're talking about spiritual food, it does the exact same thing. It affects your spiritual growth, and it affects your spiritual health. It's hard to keep a spiritual mindset in the physical world, but one way you can do it is by consuming the spiritual food which God has given to us. Another way to stay healthy in this life is spiritual exercise. Spiritual exercise. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 it says, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." You know, bodily exercise, I don't think there's too many people that say, you know, bodily exercise is bad. I mean, if you ask the health community, they're going to say bodily exercise is good. The Bible acknowledges that as well. But it's not the end all. It says bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. Well, godliness, a lot of times this word is used with godliness, the pursuit of godliness. If we exercise godliness, if we practice godliness, if we pursue godliness, I mean that's spiritual exercise. When we do things that God has told us to do, we should be doers of the word, not hearers only. I mean, you can hear a whole lot of things, but you're not putting into practice. You're not exercising. You're not doing the spiritual exercise that's needed. Now, physical exercise does do good, but the spiritual exercise, I think, is very, very important. When you think about spiritual exercise, it has the same implications on your growth. If you're not spiritually exercising, you're not going to grow. If we look in Hebrews chapter 5, I think we find an example of that. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, the Bible is telling these individuals that they should be teachers by now." But though by this time you ought to be teachers, in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, it says, "You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have some need to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now you think about that. Reason of use. That implies something, doesn't it? Reason of use. It implies action. And it goes beyond that. It says having your senses exercised to discern between good and evil. Are you exercising spiritually? Can you determine things that are good and evil spiritually? Or do you just let everybody else do that for you? Well, you know what? We already have our elders here. We're going to make this. We have to search the scriptures ourselves. Now, we will make sure that we are being obedient in places of judgment, that the judgment calls that the elders make. But it is our job to do our spiritual exercise and make sure we're studying the words of God. And making sure that we can discern between good and evil as an individual. But a lot of people put their spiritual exercise on other people. They'll do my spiritual exercise for me. But when you exercise, you grow, you're healthier, you're stronger. Are you exercising spiritually? What's interesting about spiritual exercise, it's a lot like physical exercise. Well, how do people handle physical exercise? I'm going to avoid that like the plague. I'm going to avoid it. I'm not going to run. I don't want to exercise. People avoid physical exercise, and you know what people many times do in their spiritual life? Is they avoid spiritual exercise. And when you avoid spiritual exercise, you don't think that that doesn't make you weaker? You don't think that that affects your spiritual health? You don't think that affects your spiritual growth? When you're doing spiritual exercise, it's evident. I think that's the message we get from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 15. First Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 15. It says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with laying on of hands and of the eldership. Verse 15. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. When you dedicate yourself to the studying of the Scriptures, when you dedicate yourself to studying the Scriptures and applying those Scriptures, your progress is evident to all. Let's apply it back to physical. When someone starts working out and they start losing weight, isn't there evidence? I mean, we can see it. Wow! You've been exercising. You've lost some weight. When someone's exercising, maybe they're lifting weights, and you go, wow, you're getting a little bigger. Where's Zane? Yeah, Zane, you're getting a little bit bigger. You've been pumping those weights, you know. When people exercise, your progress is evident. People, look, you're losing weight. You're looking stronger. You're looking better. Why? Because you're exercising. Are we exercising spiritually? And when you exercise spiritually, you know what happens? Your evidence is clear to all. They can see in the way you talk as a Christian. They can see the way you walk as a Christian. They can see the way you act as a Christian. But people avoid spiritual exercise. They avoid it. You know, I think of my brother. My brother, he's 6'5", and he just won't give up sports. He plays about every sport. Well, he broke his collarbone, and they put him in a cast for a few weeks. And what happened to his arm when that arm could not exercise? When he got it out of that cast, it was like that. Because he couldn't exercise it. It was locked up. It wasn't doing anything. And when you don't exercise, you don't grow. You're not healthy. You don't get any stronger. And people think that spiritually they can sit on the sidelines and not do spiritual things, spiritual activities, and think that they're going to grow spiritually. It doesn't happen. You need that spiritual exercise. But people avoid it. There's all kinds of spiritual exercises that you can be doing. You know, we have what they eat here. I think it's a great spiritual exercise. You know, we have all these Bible classes over here. That's spiritual exercise. Any teacher will tell you that when they teach the Bible, they learn more as a teacher than any other time. That's spiritual exercise. But what you find is a lot of times people avoid those types of things. Because spiritual exercise is hard. It's not easy. Spiritual exercise is not easy. You start looking at the descriptions of the Christian life. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You think spiritual exercise is easy? It's compared to a fight. It's compared to a race. It's not easy. I'm not trying to say it is. But I'm saying without spiritual exercise, you are vulnerable because you become weaker. You're not as healthy. And you're not growing. Are you avoiding spiritual exercise? Exercise is hard. And spiritual exercise is difficult. You know, I think about, you know, me taking on this position. You think that I'm not going to have to do things that I've never done in my life? Think about that. I'm going to have to do some things that I've never done in my life. That's called growth. I'm going to have to do more than I've ever done in my life. That's called growth. That's spiritual exercise. We are all, as Christians, need to be called to do spiritual exercise. If not, it does affect our health. It helps us to develop spiritually. And there's all kinds of spiritual practices that you can do. You can study your Bible, teach Bible classes, but really it's taking the Bible into action. Evangelism in the community, trying to step out and help, benevolence, trying to encourage brothers and sisters in Christ. To stay healthy spiritually, you need to eat spiritual food. Not only do we need to eat spiritual food, but we need to partake of spiritual exercise. And number three is I think God will tell you to consider your spiritual environment. You know, environment is so important. It's so hard to function properly in a bad environment. You know, if you got pollution everywhere, it's going to affect the way you breathe and those types of things. A bad environment, a negative environment, will affect your spiritual health. Have you considered your spiritual environment? You know, in Luke chapter 8, I think we have a perfect picture of spiritual environment. It's the parable of the sower. In verses 14 through 15, it says, now one of those seeds, it says it fell among those who, when they heard, they were choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and they did not bring any fruit to maturity. In verse 15 it says, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Environment makes a difference. And sometimes we have to consider our environment. Is our environment, do we have the world around us? The world all around us, all we're doing is hearing everything from the world, but we're not hearing anything from God. I'm afraid that some people's spiritual environment is because they hear so much of the world, you know where they get led to? They get led to the world. If you hear more of God, what might you get led towards? I worry about people's spiritual environment. Now we know we live in the world. We have to go to work. We're going to work with people that don't believe the same thing. But you really think about our assembly today. Isn't this what God wants? A good spiritual support system. A spiritual support system that can encourage us to do spiritual exercise. Spiritual exercise is hard. You're only going to do it if you're encouraged many times. And that's what the church provides. We can encourage one another to spiritually exercise. Not only can the church encourage us to spiritually exercise, but the church can encourage us to consume a spiritual food. If it is so hard to consume spiritual food, if it is so hard to spiritually exercise, I tell you something that we need. We need to stick together, to encourage one another, to do those things which we know are right, to grow in those things that we need to grow in. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, it says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals." And a lot of times people have their life consumed with the world, and slowly but surely it affects their spiritual health. We know that we have people in our family, people in the community, people that don't believe the same thing that we do, but God would tell you to consider your environment. He's not going to say cut all ties, but He's going to say consider it. Think about it. Do you have more of the world, or do you have more spiritual things around you? We have a spiritual support system here. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching." There's no better place to grow than the Lord's church. If I was going to public speak anywhere, if I was going to learn to public speak, you know where it would be? The church. If I was going to learn how to pray or sing or do anything, because it's a support system. Who has ever come up here and after they fell on their face, because I've made mistakes up here. Everybody makes mistakes. Who has not made mistakes? We all make mistakes. And you know what our brothers and sisters do? They rally around us and say, "Hey, you did a good job. You know, you should have saw my first time. You should have saw when I did my first Bible reading. You should have saw me when I passed communion. I tripped and all these things." We're encouraging. We're trying to support one another, having a good spiritual environment. There's no better place. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, "But exhort one another daily, while it's still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." We're to encourage, to exhort each other daily, to try to encourage each other to do those things that are right. A spiritual environment that looks out for one another. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but the interests of others." In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." How's the spiritual environment? How's your spiritual environment? Are you more surrounded by thorns and the cares of this life? Are you more surrounded by your brothers and sisters in Christ that are trying to encourage you to do those things that are good and right? You know, it's hard in the physical life to eat healthy and exercise, but it certainly helps if you have people encouraging you in that process. Spiritually, I think the parallel is very close to the same. We have to do those things that we need to do to stay spiritually healthy. And if you can stay spiritually healthy, you don't have to worry about many of the things that the world worries about. I'm not saying not to be cautious, brothers and sisters in Christ. Do those things which we know we should do. But if you're spiritually healthy, it certainly helps your mindset as you approach eternity. Can we stay spiritually healthy? Can you eat the spiritual food? Can you do spiritual exercise? Can you be part of a positive environment that encourages such things? Let's certainly do those things and stay healthy spiritually. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We would love to help you this day. In Acts chapter 2, verses 38, you see these individuals are cut to the heart. They hear the message and they say, "Well, what do we need to do?" And they say, "Repent and be baptized." Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We see that pattern throughout Acts. Hear the word, believe it, repent, confess, be baptized. You need the prayers of the church. We need to become a New Testament Christian. We ask you, please come as we stand and as we sing.